think it'll be a blessing to you. I hope these stewardship lessons are helping you. I know I'm spending a lot of personal time of year just reevaluating my life and my schedule and my budget and all kinds of different things. It's a constant battle. As we talked about last week, you either live life or life lives you. And it's easy for all of us to get swept up in the current of chaos going on around us. But God has given us a good measure of control, and I'm thankful for that. So let's look at one verse here of Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon chapter 1, and look at verse 6. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. And let's pray. Lord, we're grateful for the time we get to spend here in your house and in your word. Thank you for these that came to Sunday school this morning. I pray that from the oldest of us to the youngest of us, that we would gather these principles and learn them and live by them. I think of the teenagers that we have in here on purpose, because these are such important life lessons. If they can grasp these at a young age, they'll be far ahead of the curve. And Lord, all of us need this instruction. And so would you help us today, give us a biblical mindset about our responsibilities so that we can steward them properly for you. Give me the words you'd have me say now. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, interesting verse here. The phrase that we pull out really for the crux of the topic today is, mine own vineyard have I not kept. Other vineyards I've kept, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. And without going too deeply into it, this verse speaks of a woman who was a servant. She obviously had responsibility. She worked hard. She helped others. When the Bible talks about, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me, it talks about her skin was darkened just from the long hours she had spent out in the fields toiling, out in the vineyards toiling. So she was a hard worker. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. She was obviously someone that was entrusted with other responsibilities besides her own. And by the way, this is the way life works. You know, the more valuable you become, the more skills you learn, the older you get, the more mature you become, the more responsibilities come your way. And it becomes increasingly important for us to be able to manage every responsibility, or we will begin having detriment in one area or another. And there's not an adult in this room that doesn't feel that tug of war, that walking of the tightrope, trying to figure out how do I balance work and family and Christian responsibilities and personal responsibilities and take care of myself and take care of others. It's this constant tightrope act where we all feel that pull. And so here was a lady that she felt this pull, but she was helping others to the detriment of her own responsibilities. She was doing everything that people were expecting of her, but two things happened. Number one, she didn't take care of herself. She didn't take care of her own responsibilities. And then number two, people still weren't happy with her. She was working long hours. She was trying to do what everybody expected her to do. And yet people were still angry with her. Hello. Does this sound familiar? And so we learned two important things here. Number one, I must take care of myself in order to help take care of other people. And number two, it is possible for you to work so hard trying to take care of other people, even allowing yourself to get sick, to do all of these things, and yet people are still unhappy with you. And so let's talk about this a little bit. And I think this will be a real important subject for us going forward. I think it'll really help you just to kind of have a biblical mindset about these things. Mine own vineyard have I not kept. Now, as we get into this, let me talk about two common extremes when we're discussing life's responsibilities. The first extreme is those that are selfish. The second extreme is those that try to help other people so much that they end up not taking care of themselves. And so let's talk about this selfishness. Selfishness, of course, are these are people who feel the need to be first. It matters most what they need, what they feel, what they want. They are either unaware or unconcerned with other people's needs around them. They need to be first. The worldly motto is, I got to take care of number one. I got to take care of myself. Nobody's going to take care of me. I need to take care of myself. Now, the whole crux of the lesson today is you need to take care of yourself, but not from a motivation of pride. A proud or a haughty spirit is the wrong motivation to take care of yourself. The truth is, I'm going to encourage us to take care of ourselves so that we can help other people more and fulfill our responsibilities to the Lord. Does that make sense to you? And so pride is a huge problem in the world. Our sinful nature predisposes us to selfishness. The truth is, left to yourself, you're going to be selfish. Now, you might be more selfish or less selfish than the people around you, and same with me, but that's not the gold standard. Remember, if we compare ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise. Amen? So the Lord is the standard. And selfishness is a common problem that the world actually promotes. Think about this. The world teaches you to love yourself. You got to love yourself. Now, while that sounds good, and I don't have the long arms to do with the thing Brother Pash does up here where he's loving on himself, and I think he's way too good at that. I think there's been a lot of time invested in that whole movement. And, but the truth is, the world teaches you to love yourself. Love yourself. Folks, most people don't have a problem with loving themselves. Most people love themselves too much. Listen to what I'm about ready to say. Listen to what I'm saying. Most people love themselves too much. Matter of fact, the scripture teaches us, hold your place here at Song of Solomon, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Hate to bring the Bible in on this subject and debunk all the psychologists, but let's see what God has to say about it. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. The great problem with humanity is not that we don't love ourselves, it's that we love ourselves too much. The natural predisposition of man is to say, I'm going to take care of me. If there's one meal left and we're both going to starve, too bad, buddy. I'm going to eat it. Amen? Especially if it's KFC. A little extra crispy, nice chicken breast there, maybe a leg or a thigh, a little side of mashed potatoes and gravy. But I digress. And so the natural tendency is for us to take care of ourselves. But you say, preacher, no, I know people that hate themselves. Mm-hmm. I know people, maybe you're sitting in here today, and the truth is you don't like yourself very much. The truth is you look yourself in the mirror and you don't like what you see. Now, what is that? Let me encourage you, the biblical response to that is not that you need to look in the mirror and say, I love you. I love you. I love you so much. You know, I think Brother Pam says, I love you. That's not going to help. In the Bible, you find one basic reason for self-loathing. The Bible calls it, you loathe yourself, or you abhor yourself. Job chapter 42, verse 6 says, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. It is possible to abhor yourself, not because you don't love yourself enough. Look at Ezekiel chapter 20. And this would be life-changing for somebody if you grab a hold of it. Ezekiel chapter 20 and look at verse 43. And there shall ye remember your ways and all of your doings wherein ye have been defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight. Why? For all the evils that ye have committed. I want you to look at me very carefully. When someone abhors themselves, or they loathe themselves, or they hate themselves, it's not because they need to convince themselves how much they love themselves. It's because of sin. It's because of sin. Now watch this. Either personal sin that I've never fully gotten over, I've never fully given it to the Lord, or notice what it says in the beginning of the verse, ye have been defiled, or it's because of somebody else's sin done to me that I've never fully gotten over, that I've never really given to the Lord. It is unnatural for you to hate yourself. It is unnatural for you to loathe or abhor yourself. And the answer is not some new technique. The answer is taking the sin to the Lord and getting victory over it once and for all. Now, whether that's a sin you've done, maybe you've done something horrible in your past. I mean, horrible. And the truth is, you can't forgive yourself. I have people say, I can't forgive myself. Well, that's a problem. Or perhaps somebody sinned against you. Maybe someone hurt you. Maybe someone abused you. Maybe someone betrayed you. Maybe someone stole from you. Whatever it is, there was some sin that was done to you and you just can't get over it. So now you hate yourself. And folks, I'm telling you, this would be life-changing for you. If you realize today it's unnatural for you to have those feelings towards yourself, and the answer is not some weirded out, newfound feeling or emotion towards yourself, the answer is finally making peace with God over what you've done or what has been done to you. Notice what Job said. I abhor myself and repent. And repent in dust and ashes. And so this could be a very powerful truth. Repentance and forgiveness releases us from the unnatural feelings of self-hatred. Think about this. God loves you. God loves you. And you don't love yourself? God loves you. God says, I want you. And you say, nobody wants me. God says, you're worth something to me. And you say, I'm not worth anything. Let me ask you a question. Are your standards higher than God's? Are you somehow more qualified, more holy, more consecrated, more wise than God himself? And you would say, of course not. So what's the problem? I need to agree with God. I can't get over. We take it to the Lord and we settle it once and for all. I mean, once and for all. Jesus Christ paid for your sin and for the sins that were done to you. Give them to God, all of them. Leave them at the cross and walk in newness of life. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, preacher, I just feel dirty. I feel dirty because of what I've done or because of what's been done to me. Christ offers cleansing. You don't have to feel dirty. This one truth can absolutely revolutionize your life if you'll allow it to. So we see these two extremes. One extreme is selfishness. People say, I need to take care of me. But no, we find that the truth is most people love themselves too much. They love themselves above God and man. This is pride, it is a sin, and it causes a multitude of problems. Now let's look at the other extreme. So one extreme is pride. The other extreme is self-destruction. These are those people that focus so much on helping others that they neglect to care for themselves. And eventually they break down, not being able to help anyone. They are now the ones who are in need of help and extra care and emergency care. I'm not just talking physically, I'm talking about emotionally. Emotional breakdown is real. I don't think it's all for the same reasons as a psychologist would say. Remember, I'm a preacher. I look at everything from a biblical viewpoint. I think the Bible's very clear about some of this stuff that science is very foggy on. We can get a lot of clarity when we look at the scriptures. There is physical breakdown. There is emotional breakdown. It's real. There's mental breakdown. It's real. There is spiritual breakdown. And so when I talk about someone taking care of others to the detriment of themselves, I'm taking care of other vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept, then there will eventually be some type of breakdown. Have you ever seen this happen? Have you ever seen somebody break down and burn out? Maybe it's happened to you. Let's be honest, it's happened to me. I think it's probably happened to all of us where it's like, look, I can't take anything else. I can't take anymore. I'm done. I can't take another second. I can't deal with people. Maybe you don't want to deal with life. Maybe you just need to. All of these things, the breakdown can take on many different forms and many different variations, but it is certainly real. And so we have to learn to take care of ourselves so that we can take care of other people. Now, if you'll allow me to give a personal testimony, I know this from experience in many different areas of life. I remember being a young man in college, and, you know, you're young, you're 18, 19, 20, 22, 21, 22 years of age, and you're strong, and, I mean, you don't need much sleep, and you're going strong. Listen, I would work myself to the bone, trying to go to classes 15 to 18 hours a week, trying to work 40 to 60 hours a week, trying to literally in 2 days on Saturday and Sunday, it wasn't unusual for us to put in 30 hours during those 2 days in ministry work and church. I mean, just hammering it. At the same time, not sleeping very much, not eating very well. You know, you come back from a day of ministry on Sunday night about 2 o'clock and you're hungry. And so rather than getting something good for you, you pull into the taqueria that's still open. God knows why they're still open, probably for people like me. And a couple of us college guys would go in there and get a steak burrito. And I'm not talking about little Taco Bell burritos. I'm talking about burritos that were literally this long, literally this big around, weighed pounds. And we would eat them at 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning, and then go to sleep and wonder why we had a hard time getting up on Monday morning. After everything we just went through. Then mix in with that, I wanted the power of God, so I would fast. And nobody taught me about fasting. I would just go days without eating. And then when I got done with the fast, I would go scarf down. I was really hungry, so I'd scarf down a bunch of Reese's peanut butter cups or whatever. I mean, one time I fasted for a really long time, a water-only fast, and my first thing that I ate when I stopped fasting was a foot-long meatball sub from Subway. Now, you know that didn't work out well. And so, I mean, just foolishness. It's absolute foolishness. Well, I'll tell you what, my body began to break down, even as a young man. And your physical strength can only last so long. And then it's hard to feel spiritual when you're sick and tired. Let's be honest. That's why if you're sick or tired, or those of you that have chronic pain, or you get injured, or you're going through a rough patch in life, it's going to be extra hard for you to feel spiritual. You're going to have to make sure that you take extra time with the Lord. Nobody taught me all this stuff, so man, I'm running. It's like running as fast as you can at an all-out sprint and hitting a brick wall, and then you're down. And then for years going through this process in college, getting sick and just burnt, just broken, and then getting back up and running and hitting the wall again and getting down and being broken and getting back up, and then car accidents and all these types of things, and begin to have serious health problems because of the things that I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. And then we, to go further, just even more recently, with my wife being sick. And you know, when she first got sick and almost died, I mean, we're in emergency mode. I mean, you're just in emergency mode, trying to take care of everything and be a dad and husband and then nurse and caregiver and doctor's advocate and dealing with insurance companies and yet also pastoring and trying not just be dad with the kids and mom and everything that mom used to do, the cooking and the cleaning and the training of the children, all that stuff, that's gone. So now I'm trying to fulfill those responsibilities. And let me tell you something, when you're in emergency mode, my attitude is, hey, let's just get it done. Do whatever it takes. You know what I'm talking about? Put your head down and bull through it. And that works for a while. But you can't live that way. And the truth is, for a few years, I was so focused on taking care of everybody else that I literally, other than Bible reading and prayer, I gave myself no attention. Now, I'm not complaining about that. I'm just saying it was a mistake. I wouldn't pay attention to how much I slept. I wouldn't pay attention to what I was eating. The truth is, my weight would fluctuate up and down because as Sarah would get worse, it would be more and more junk food because it's easier to fix and it's easier to grab something on the run and it's easier. So you're in this roller coaster of up and down and no exercising and no hobbies and no nothing. My entire life was church and family, and I like it that way. I'm not complaining. I'm trying to teach you something. And then you saw me as a church. You went through it with me. Not only was Sarah sick, but then we went through for about a year and a half, where I was sick all the time. Matter of fact, it would be funny if it wasn't so scary. My wife and I were sitting in the doctor's office together, and the doctor said, this has never happened, and the chances of it happening are very slim, but the doctor said, Paul, we need to start running tests on you to see if you have the same thing Sarah has, because your symptoms are so similar. And I think part of that was the Lord allowing me to go through it so I would have a new level of understanding for my wife's situation, which I'm grateful for, not at the time. But I think other part of it was just out of foolishness. And so learning a little bit and learning, hey, I got to watch what I eat. I got to make sure I'm getting some sleep. I got to make sure that I'm drinking enough water. I got to make sure that I am taking an appropriate amount of time with the Lord. I got to make sure that I'm having some personal time. I'm not talking about just going out and blowing off, but some structured time that gives me a chance to rejuvenate. You understand what I'm saying? And so I'm being very transparent with you today because this is a lesson that I've had to learn the hard way. And oftentimes when people get in this cycle, they begin making bad decisions. If you're not careful, you'll make bad spiritual decisions. You'll make bad financial decisions. You'll make bad decisions with the family. You'll lose gaps of time that could have been used productively. And so it creates this almost snowball effect that now am I not only not healthy in body, soul, mind, or spirit, but now the bad decisions and the mistakes I'm making because I'm not healthy are compounding the stress upon us. And if you're not careful, you'll just get in an avalanche of a mess that will get you in a large amount of trouble. So can you identify with what I'm saying today? This is applicable to all of us. So having said all that, let me just remind you the purpose of the message is I have learned that if I'm going to take care of other people, I have to take care of myself too. Not from a motivation of pride, not from a motivation of I deserve me time, or I'm number one, or you're not taking care of me, so I have to take care of me. None of that. That's pride. But from an attitude of, look, I got to be strong enough so I can help other people. I got to be healthy enough so I can be around for my kids. I've got to be healthy enough so I can take care of my wife. I've got to be strong enough so I can go to work and pay the bills and these types of things. And so you start putting yourself in this position, and you'll see the need of this. Mine own vineyard have I not kept. So let me just give you some things today as we finish. Let me just give you a couple ideas that will help you as you work on taking care of yourself so you can take care of other people. Let me say number one, sleep. Sleep. God made your body to sleep. I'll be honest with you, when I was younger, I thought there was some benefit, there was some almost award to be won or mantle to be worn for requiring very little sleep. But I've learned over the years that rather than work at midnight and 1 a.m., which I would often do and still do when it's necessary, if there's a job that needs done, I'll do it. I mean, I'll work all night if I have to. It's just the way I'm built. But I've learned that it's better for me to go to bed and get up a little early the next morning than work super late into the night. And now a job that should take me 30 minutes is taking me an hour and a half because my mind's slow and my body's tired and I'm not functioning well. And I used to call myself an evening person. I would say I'm not a morning person. But I've learned my body functions better by going to sleep and getting up a little early if I have to burn the candle. But burning the candle at both ends is a recipe for destruction because God made your body to sleep. There's a lot of important things that happen when you sleep. Not just physically do our bodies repair themselves, but mentally and emotionally. What happens in the brain and chemically in our bodies during sleep is super important. So get some sleep. Now, in order to do this, that means you got to go to bed. Don't let the TV guide tell you when you're going to bed. I'm going to get there. It's right. Don't let the TV guide tell you, well, I want to go to bed at 10, but there's a show on, so I'll go to bed at 11, which means you're really not going to go to bed till 11:30. Stop playing that game. If the show's so important to you, DVR it. But maybe the show's not all that important anyway. Stop living your life based on the TV schedule. Now, the second most prevalent reason people don't go to sleep is because of electronics. With the advent of smartphones and iPads and Kindles, they'll actually physically lay down in bed and then won't go to sleep. And you can lose a good 30 minutes to an hour and a half playing on the machines before we lay down. And it's a proven thing that the blue light keeps your brain in a state of awake. Your brain's not going to be able to go to sleep with some of those blue light waves coming from these screens. That's why Kindle has it, and now iPhone and the iOS systems, they have this red shift screen that filters out the blue light, but you're still not sleeping. So let me encourage you this. Don't take the machines to bed with you. If you want to look on your phone, if you want to have some time on the iPad, don't lay down yet. But when you lay down, that goes somewhere else. Because what happens is you get mixed up. For example, unless I'm working with my wife and she's bedbound, I don't work in our bedroom. Because I don't want to go in my bedroom and lay down thinking about work. I work here. I work in the living room. Sometimes I'll work in one of the kids' rooms if I need quiet for prayer and things like that. And they're in school or whatever. But I don't take my work into the bedroom because I've trained myself that when I go in the bedroom, it's not work time. Yes. It's time for that to be done. So sleep. And most people need 7 to 9 hours a night. Don't feel bad about it. Know your body. Allow yourself to sleep. And then work yourself to the bone while you're awake. When you're sick or you're going through a hard time, you might need a little extra sleep. During the spring or the summer, you might need a little less sleep. Know yourself and allow yourself the time it needs that you need to do well. All right? And so I know this is a basic stuff, but we don't do it. Let me say this. If your schedule doesn't allow you to get as much sleep as you need at night, then give yourself permission to take a guilt-free nap sometime during the day. Notice I said guilt-free. I shouldn't be sleeping. Well, if your body's not able because of your schedule to get, or because of your health or whatever, to get the amount of sleep that you need at one time, then you're going to have, your body now has a deficit. You're going to need to make that up somewhere. And so a guilt-free nap. Now listen, rule of thumb, lazy people sleep too much. Hard workers don't sleep enough. So if you're lazy, set 3 alarms, get out of bed. If you're a hard worker and you're not lazy, give yourself permission to sleep. Makes sense? That'll help you if you let it. Number 2, eat well. Stop eating junk. It robs us of energy and joy. Now, I am the poster child for junk food. And so I am currently under conviction as I read this. But I'm trying to make some changes there. A shop around the edges of the supermarket, buying fruit, vegetables, and meat. Reduce simple carbs and sugars, and drink a lot of water. Eating well isn't hard. It just takes some discipline. And what you'll find is this good food. Have you ever done this? You'll eat a good lunch, and then you feel like you need to take a nap after? That's because that's not the way the normal body works. Whenever we eat well, we feel rejuvenated after we eat. When we eat poorly and our body's working hard to digest what we just ate, it makes us very sleepy and tired. And so use that as kind of a gauge in your own life. And so exercise. Exercise not only helps us physically, but it burns emotional energy. Don't miss what I just said. Exercise burns emotional energy. If you have emotional problems such as anger, anxiety, depression, make exercise a daily part of your life. Everybody underestimates what exercise does. So if you walk a mile and a half at a medium speed, you're going to burn about 25 to 30 calories. And people say, well, that's not worth my time and effort to burn calories. So much more happens when you're exercising than just the burning of calories. Physiological, biological, chemical changes happen all throughout your body when we exercise that benefits us all day long. And so we need to exercise. And some of you are looking at like, yeah, what are you talking about? And you're right. So pray for me. I'm working on it. All right. Number three, schedule family time. Don't neglect your family. Invest in them and they'll fulfill you 100-fold. Number 4, have a hobby. Just do it. Stop acting like working all the time is extra spiritual. I am a pastor who wants you to have some fun, whatever your preference is, as long as it's not sinful. For example, golf's not sinful. A lot of people sin on the golf course, but golf's not sinful. It's expensive. And so there are things that cost absolutely nothing, taking walks outside, lots of nature trails, hiking, bicycling. You can get a used bicycle. Listen, people have used exercise equipment and bicycles and stuff that they're not using. Ask if you can borrow it or buy it cheap. You could probably get one given to you. And so you need to have a time. Recreation helps recreate. Go hunting and fishing, learn a new skill, read books, whatever your hobby is, just get outside or find something that works your brain and allows you to loosen up and do it. And then lastly, walk with God. That's not a platitude. It's not something that, oh yeah, of course he's going to say that. Walking with God allows you to withstand far more pressure of life than you could without walking with God. Far more pressure. And the pressure and problems of life are upon you, but you can be renewed in the inner man and be sustained by God, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And so I hope this is helpful to you. Other vineyards, we're doing a good job taking care of others. Mine own vineyard have I not kept. Let's take care of ourselves so we can keep taking care of others. Amen?